Clapton, Tears in Heaven, unplugged, of course. Hi, this is Charles, democraticfundamentalism.org. It's kind of hard to tell you what I'm intending to tell you tonight. It's not going to be a lot of giggling or funny jokes. I guess that part's not different. And there'll be a little bit of synchronicity, but what I really want to do, what I want to have a talk with you about is the future of this planet and... Well, what I might say to you might very well save your life. So I really ask that you listen to what I have to say. And I promise you, it's not about promoting me. It's about empowering you. Because you, all of you listening, are the people who will make a difference. But I hope that I can motivate you and empower you. The synchronicity I want to talk about tonight relates to a certain musician I really like. I was talking about Burger King and loving every minute of it, and Art Garfunkel the other night. And a certain song on the album called Watermark that Art Garfunkel recorded years ago, it's a particular song on it that's incredibly poignant that I had forgotten about, I swear. It's called What a Wonderful World This Would Be. And the mysterious link of synchronicity it contains, of course, is a special trio, Art Garfunkel, Paul Simon, and you guessed it, James Taylor. I just want to say, you know, James Taylor's songs have shaped and guided my life ever since his first album. And it's been through the best of times and the worst of times, and I've always had this feeling I'd have a chance to meet him and hug him and thank him. I don't know if that'll ever occur. I guess I can always hope. But of course, he's probably used to groupies like me. Perfect strangers who call him by name, but then that's why he's here. But, you know, the interesting thing is I don't believe in coincidences at all. I believe we're all guided in life to meet certain people, to have certain experiences, just as I believe we're all put on the earth to serve a greater purpose than ourselves. And the test, the proof, comes in the persistence and the commitment we have to being who we say we really believe we are. Some people say they always thought they were meant to be doctors or lawyers or ditch diggers, mother, father, leader, or follower. And the beauty is that all vocations, any position in life, they all have their place. Some paths are more common. Some require the faith of older people to honor the beliefs they say they base their lives on. And finally, as a preface, I'll say that I was raised to always look for the wisdom in cliches because they become cliches for a reason. Because they succinctly express ideals and disciplines. Well, tonight I'll say the most important cliches I've ever heard are history repeats itself, to thine own self be true, and it's not whether you can, it's whether you will. Think about those as I speak and decide for yourself what they mean and then do what you feel called to do. That's what I'm going to do now, kind of reveal myself, tell you what I'm called to do. And I'm going to share it with you because there are things you need to know and things I've discovered about myself in learning many of those things. And I'm going to start on the theme that we all know the truth about ourselves, the things that drive us, the things that shape our opinions and beliefs. You know, the kinds of things you don't admit to other people that you think about or wish you were and stuff like that. Well, this is sort of my truth. Since the time I was a small child, and I kind of document this in that corruption in me thing at the top of the page, since the time I was a young child, I knew I had a purpose in life. The same feeling most people get about themselves and ignore a lot of times because the responsibility is too great or because it requires us to take actions that are uncomfortable or aren't easy. Well, in a lot of ways, the same is true for me. But I knew from the time I was a small child that I was put on this planet to cause world peace and abundance for all. I told that to someone yesterday. They told me people like me have trouble focusing and that I should find a specialty. And, you know, I understood it and I replied, I do have a specialty, causing world peace and abundance for all. And he shook my hand and told me it was very interesting talking to me and then sent me on my way. And I really do understand why. I mean, what I have to say, what I have to do in life is biblical, it's historical, it's very important. And Like I said in earlier writings on this site, what I felt like I wanted to do in life was move to Oregon, grow organic vegetables and foods, and build a big wall around the property to wall the world out. And the biggest reason was because I just couldn't take the pain I feel when I see people homeless and hungry, victimized by those who take all they want without care for those they harm. It hurts me to see animals treated like throwaway toys and expendable food sources. And I've mentioned that I knew no matter how high or how strong the wall was, that the troubles of the world would find me no matter what. By golly, they have. I've made mention to the chapters and verses in the Bible that guide me personally, the heritage I've been provided to cause me to take action when the time comes, and the time is now. The parts of the Bible that guide me most are found in Ezekiel and Revelations. And I can't tell you I know all the truth. I can only tell you that I know what I know. I know what I see. And without my own knowledge, since beginning this site, I've been doing everything that God would have had me do had I knew what I was supposed to be doing. And everything I've done has been because of praying and then doing what I felt compelled to do. Now that I know it's not just blind faith, but knowledge as well, I'm compelled to reveal what I know and be someone in the world who empowers you to cause heaven on earth. And I mean that. You could call me old Luke, Jude, Daniel, Joshua, Charles, or David. There are many names that would be symbolic of the mandate I feel I have. I'm told by Germans that my last name, though common, literally translates to the words Son of Man. And while few people will understand the significance of what that means without reading the book of Ezekiel, what's been revealed to me convinces me that that is in fact who I am, or at least that's the role I've chosen to be at this point in the history of humanity, of this planet, and of this heaven on earth. But there are serious choices that have to be made by the people of the planet. We need to either overcome the denial and resignation in our hearts or lose this planet, if not our souls, to the evil that is attempting to seize control of this planet. And it's difficult to make those decisions and choices that are necessary because of the deceptions that are occurring in the world. The most heinous of deceptions are in the name of God, as described in the books of Matthew and Luke and Ezekiel, the bulk of which is contained in the link, what the Bible says about the times we're in. The beauty of it all is that you don't need to believe me. I don't have to make this stuff up. Just read the Bible and trust your heart and do what you feel you must do. I can't save the world. Only you can do that. One person, one family, one church group at a time. And the time to do it is now. By the way, the Bible says I will be ridiculed. It says that you'll hear what I have to say, you'll read what I have to say, and you'll run from it. And I understand that. But the Bible also says you'll be back, and I believe that too. I have faith in God, the same God I believe that all true religions and disciplines respect and worship. The same faith that is present every time I sit down to compose this broadcast, because when I do that, I really, truly don't know what I'm going to say. Those who will criticize and persecute me, maybe, for what I'm saying, may even tell you the truth about me and my past. Well, that's the beauty of being the Son of Man. I'm human. And I won't spend any time trying to convince you to follow the things I propose. And it's irrelevant whether I am this man I speak of. What's important is the mission I've been called to lead. And if you agree with what I say, then agree. If you disagree, speak up, because your voice is equally important. All I can tell you is that I, like you, must choose a path from this moment forward that is the truest expression of who I am as a person. Not what we believe the world demands, but what we feel compelled and called to be. Our lives begin again every second of the day. Judge me as you would judge yourself. Forgive me as you would have yourself be forgiven. Let your faith be not in the words and deeds of men, but in the truth of the Word of God. I'm one who has experienced a great number of indignities and inhumanities that could be perpetrated upon people, and I believe that was on purpose to allow me to understand. I don't really regret any of it, and I embrace most of it as incredibly important lessons. Lessons so that I would know and remember what it's like to be one of the so-called unimportant people, the starving, the disenfranchised, and betrayed. I understand that kind of pain and anguish. And so my time has come to lead, because I really can't bear to witness the injustice and the pain of it any longer. It's time for me to end it. Not for me, but for you, for all of us. And we have to do it for America, for ourselves, and for the world. Because, see, God never intended for any of us to suffer. And because I so love people, and so believe that our planet is the heaven God promised, just as He gave us free will, because He wanted us to love Him and to choose His path instead of feeling we're forced to comply with some sort of tyranny, that's the choice we must make beginning now. The past is the past. What matters is who we are now. Who will we be in the next moment, in the next hour, and in the coming years until the rest of our lives? So, with that, I'll say that there are some things you need to know. America is the crown jewel of the world. It's described as such in the Bible. And God requires us to be the symbols and keepers of justice throughout the world. The alternative is to face likely destruction. The events described in Ezekiel and Revelations is occurring in the world right now. Plants and animals and people are being mercilessly killed all over the planet. We face attack from animals and bacteria that we've turned our backs on for all of our history. We've plundered this planet to the brink of the inability to sustain life. And we threaten it more with the War of Wars, the battle between God and the devil, World War III. It's not a metaphorical interpretation of the world, it's the truth. We're witnessing the beginnings of the famines, pestilence, and drought predicted nearly 2,000 years ago. Here in the Seattle area, residents aren't aware that because of pollution and lack of rain, this region is within 3 years of losing a viable, sustainable water supply. Parts of the Rio Grande River have dried up. The Red Sea, as predicted in the Bible, is beginning to dry up. People there are actually assembling a pipeline to feed more water to it from the ocean. A herd of deer were killed in Pennsylvania last week, interestingly enough, by a mysterious virus after a motorist complained of rising insurance costs due to the incidents of hitting deer with their cars. Ducks are disappearing from the Great Lakes because of pollution. Gonorrhea test kits, as many as 700,000, had to be recalled because of false negative test results. A syphilis epidemic has hit Chicago. And on the East Coast, nearly 90% of all bacterial infections are resistant to antibiotics. The Bible speaks of the flesh eaters. Well, it's hard to tell the exact source of that, but it appears that the gorillas and monkeys of the world, who have nearly as much intelligence and skill as us, are beginning to become quite annoyed at us for destroying their homes. In Vietnam, a rare species of gibbons has been located, though formerly presumed to have been extinct, and there's about 26 of them. The bear attacks recently present the same problem. We, as humans, have taken the approach that controlling them means killing them. That makes them angry. They have every right to live on this planet. We have no right to dominate it as we do. In Virginia, there's a guy employed by the federal government. He's a gene splicer. Actually, he's a man from Russia. And he's so skilled at genetic engineering that he can create life as most of us would make coffee in the morning. The recent results of genetic engineering going on in this country has been something called Mighty Mouse. Now, this mouse has qualities bred into it that officials describe as having the potential to increase human endurance, a theme Hitler loved, and when more fully manipulated, is capable of producing semen that will produce sheep and pigs. God truly only knows what else is being concocted and what has gotten loose. Now, I'm not really against genetic engineering, but in a lot of ways, it's a time bomb waiting to go off. It only takes one test tube falling on the floor somewhere to cause a problem, if it already hasn't. Scientists have found ways to bring the dead back to life, and even though these living dead do only the most basic things, and eating is one of them. Well, they must find their food from somewhere. Just imagine an army of people previously dead at the beck and call of an evil leader. And you thought the Night of the Living Dead and Planet of the Apes and Breakout were all science fiction, and they are. Personally, I think a whole bunch of people had dreams and wrote them down, and, well, they were predictions. But now it's the new version of The Time Machine, Resident Evil, Signs, The Patriot, The Postman. There are many movies that will tell you what's to come, if we don't change the future now. And we can. The funny thing is, though, I decided on the words change the future for the Yin just a couple of minutes before that instruction was given to Frodo in The Hobbit. You might also want to try reading Dune. But it doesn't have to happen. It might. We have a choice. And I'll tell you more about that soon, but there are things you need to know to really understand the evil that surrounds us and controls us. We in the United States have lived on the premise of being a free and just society, which for the most part we are as people. That's the heritage, the story of our culture. But as in so many cultures, it's not necessarily the truth. See, we were sold out long ago. You may not know that most of the signers of the Declaration of Independence died mysterious, untimely deaths. This was the vengeance wreaked upon them for defying King George. King George swore that he would indeed get America back for his kingdom, just as the countries of Egypt and Jordan and others were divided up between the strongest nations back in the late 1800s for the purpose of acquiring oil. In 1911, our president sold out. He installed an institution called the Federal Reserve Board, and he did it by passing legislation while Congress was in recess, and did so in an act of political bribery under the guise of the interests of national security to retain presidential powers. This was done to facilitate the pyramid scheme of the New World, to allow an independent agency to manage and loan our money to us at a very high price. While not all ascribe to this, the American Bar Association is actually a British organization. Those who go by the title Esquire are part of the British part of it. And they're not legally allowed to hold elected office in the United States because they've sworn an allegiance to England. George Bush is by blood related to Winston Churchill and Princess Diana. The Bush family in past generations has a reputation for affiliation with countries who seek to overthrow the United States, including Germany during World War II. And there's a group of people from a certain Ivy League school who are in cahoots with each other, directing traffic on elections and national policy and a number of other things, and they're called the Skull and Bones. And you'd be amazed who's a member, including George Bush. And you'd be appalled at the initiation things that they do, part of it. And although I don't have any problem with homosexuality, it includes oral sex with a member of the same sex. I have a list of the members, and so do many, many other people. And all are afraid to tell for fear of losing their lives. Add to that the people and organizations who were part of Bretton Woods conferences years ago. They designed a plan for the future of global domination since the 40s, and it was basically financial. It spawned the International Monetary Fund and later the World Bank, considered by activists in the know as the evil empire. They have a stated policy of rebuilding and assisting nations, and they almost do that until they bring countries to their knees by causing them to go into such extreme debt with loans and then sabotaging them on what are called free markets until they are put in the position of bankruptcy and their people become ill and illiterate and thusly lose their rights and human dignity to poverty and tortuous death. And the organizations involved in that, the people who are involved in that, include the major oil companies in the world and the families who own them. Many of them are people I've been associated with in my own work, and who are otherwise good people, at least inside the charade we call the American political system. And that political system is responsible for the manipulation of our financial systems for a purpose. One of the greatest manipulations of them all was the CIA complicity with the assassination of John Kennedy. George Bush Sr. has been noted in many sources as having ties to Kennedy's assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald. And I can personally vouch on some information related to the involvement of Howard Hunt. Jack Ruby, the man who assassinated Lee Harvey Oswald, tried for years to convince leaders to allow him to testify regarding all that he knew about the assassination of Kennedy, but no one would call him, and he died with his story untold. He died of cancer in his jail cell. Now, I've never taken the time to trace the roots of the assassin of Robert Kennedy. His assassin was named Sirhan Sirhan, a Saudi Arabian man. You need to keep in mind that the article about the involvement of the Bush family with killers of Americans include the bin Laden family. Saudi Arabians account for George Jr.'s personal wealth. There's so much more to tell you, and everything I've told you is already documented by reputable independent news sources on this website, and more is revealed all the time. It would be reasonable to ask why I decided to say all this when it hasn't been said before. Well, the fact is, it all has been said before many times, often in closed circles where people felt safe from threat of personal harm. It's been said in bits and pieces over the years, in the news, and in lectures, and in books. And what hasn't been done before is the connection of the dots. And it would be reasonable to ask the question, well, why now? And then why me? All I can tell you about is that some of the best advice I've ever received was in a particular cliche that says, when you see a sleeping dog, kick it. And of course, I'm not talking about dogs. I'm talking about lies, fraud, deception, cheats, swindles, criminals, the kind that have purposefully robbed us of our savings and retirement plans. And then you might ask another reasonable question, why hasn't anyone come forward with these accusations before? The answer is complex. They have been brought up, but like the election of 2000, people were so shocked that they were conned into keeping their mouths shut. Or the deceptions were so great that nobody would believe. Because, of course, these acts and deeds were so egregious that no one would believe that these fine men, the leaders, would ever do such atrocities. But they do them every day. But because of the ability to suppress and control most media outlets, the government, the people who all call the bad guys, have been able to keep the secrets quiet. The facts of the Kennedy assassination were suppressed by a congressional panel who told us that one man killed Kennedy. Although if you review the Zapruder film, the film made by an amateur photographer of the killing, anyone who knows anything about guns and bullets could tell you that his assassination by one man, given the trajectories of the bullets used, the forensics involved, well, the story we were told simply could not possibly be true. And the records surrounding the Warren Commission's reports have been legislatively sealed and resealed. I believe the next theoretical release date of that info is somewhere in 2020. And I can't imagine that if we ever see that report, that the real information will still be there. But Gerald Ford and Arlen Specter know the truth. They were on that panel. They should tell it now. This is the time, if you guys are truly patriots pledged to the security of this nation, before it's too late, before history records your involvement with infamy that will never fade. Why do I do this now? First, because someone someday must, if the United States is to remain united and free. The conspiracies that have undermined our economy and social fabric have been purposeful and evil, and they must be stopped now, before we go beyond the point of no return. And we're close to it. But like I say, don't take my word for it. Everything you need to know is on this website from independent sources. And on top of it, my father instructed me to take action when the events and circumstances we live with now presented themselves. And if I have done nothing more in my life, I have honored my father and mother. And then, of course, there's the Bible and my incredible faith in God. It's in there, too, in its own way. But there's so much more having to do with current events, all modeled on the events of the past. Today, Congress released reports regarding the events leading to 9/11. What's coming out is tantamount to treason in my book. First, because the Bush administration, which claims that no one could have imagined that terrorists would have used planes to attack the World Trade Center and Pentagon, This despite the fact that it's been a known method since 1994, and as recently as April 2001, you know, the time when John Ashcroft began using private aircraft instead of commercial carriers. The article about Bush's family above contains information on this, too. And there are plenty more incidents and intelligence reports that suggest it was not only thought of, it was probable and expected. According to sources, the CIA and FBI have made no real changes to their procedures and practices in order to provide more security since. And if you connect the dots between the Bin Laden family and the Bush family, you might come to some pretty grim conclusions. Afghanistan? Well, that had nothing to do with liberating the Afghans from the Taliban. It wasn't about Al-Qaeda or Bin Laden. It was about oil. Bringing in oil from the Caspian Sea, a landlocked sea that has a huge supply of oil requiring a pipeline in order to deliver it and profit from it. And when negotiations broke down with the Taliban, a very convenient terrorist attack came upon this nation. And the attack was very real. That should have been prevented. Experts say it was preventable. But don't believe me. Look around the site. It's all there. Look at CNN. And the not-so-funny thing is I connected the dots on 9/11 in less than 3 months. Our intelligence agencies have been in the business for years and years. And after discovering what I know, I even called the senator's office to inform them that the idea of a computer system at the FBI having only one search parameter on the database and other technical details, well, that it was absurd and incomprehensible. They got very nervous when I asked them if they knew they were being lied to. But because the Department of Ashcroft goes around letting people know that if they do anything except go along, they will be publicly ostracized as unpatriotic. It's like how in Denver, they've investigated thousands of people who belong to peace organizations and grassroots lobbying groups. And even though these people have committed no crimes, the records of their investigation have been made public. That's a clear usurpation of authority and access to private information. At best, it's an attempt to begin the process that Hitler used on Germany to let people like me know that if you oppose his regime, he will regret it. Now, the oil magnates of the world, with the aid of George Bush, want Iraq. Is Iraq the enemy of the United States? I wouldn't doubt it. If I was given the green light by the United States to invade and defend its oil from Kuwait, as they were, only to be attacked by the greatest coalition of forces since World War II afterward, and then place sanctions on that country and create such hardship that it kills more than 1.7 million of their people, well, now the Bush family wants to attack Iraq and kill Hussein. And the best reasons I can find that they would have is primarily in oil, until you read the fine print of a little book by Machiavelli called The Prince that you could pick up at any bookstore for less than $10. It's sort of the Bible on how to gain power and overthrow government, and it's considered a legitimate training manual for world leaders, and with good cause. It tells you everything you need to know, including paragraph after paragraph, stating that to perform a successful and enduring coup, you must kill all those who were damaged in the process of the coup. Sort of like how they did with Bill Clinton politically during and after his presidency. You know, make him look stupid, undermine his credibility, which they'll never do in my eyes. But you just mainly have to make sure that those you overthrew are not in the position to rise up against you. And the way to do that is to kill them. You can imagine that Saddam would not like George Sr. after the betrayal he issued to Saddam. It's no wonder Hussein tried to kill him, whether it's right or not. It's just understandable. Just as it's understandable why George Jr. would cause Hussein to maybe make the U.S. a target, because Hussein's the most likely person to seek revenge in the game called Princedom. And that would make the U.S. a target. The Bush family is making us a target, and it has nothing to do with the will of the people. Here's the other odd thing. The Bible says that in these times the deception would be so great that the sons would do what the fathers wouldn't. And even applying that phrase gets tricky. See, Senior wouldn't take out Saddam, but Junior would. Senior wouldn't launch World War III, but Junior will. Billy Graham would never preach to churchgoers that they should place themselves in a class above Muslims for the purpose of causing people to hate other people. That's not the lessons of the Bible or the Word of God. But Franklin Graham, he does that. Why is Iran in the axis of evil? Well, I'll start with the fact that the CIA propped up a man called the Shah of Iran. Back then, it was about oil and strategic placement of weapons, supposedly in response to the Soviet threat against us. And then we were kicked out because the Iranians were tired of our interference with their government and culture. See, Americans have this history of wanting the rest of the world to do it our way. Imagine someone coming to America and saying, "Lay down your weapons or we'll nuke you." Imagine some other country placing sanctions on the U.S. such that the Americans began to die from the hardships. It, under most circumstances, wouldn't be tolerated. But we expect every other nation to comply with our demands. This country says we pride ourselves on the idea that we never strike the first blow. We don't start wars, and yet in World War II, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, we sank the first Japanese mini-sub an hour before the main attack, away from the harbor, but no one alerted the crewmen on the ships and the people on the island. Instead, the United States allowed the attack so that we could claim we were attacked and provoked. Sound familiar? There are so many lies in our history that can only serve political and financial goals. And yet, Cynthia McKinney was literally made out to be crazy for suggesting that there should be an investigation after 9-1-1 to see if we can follow the money, to see if and who made money off the 9-1-1 attacks. Again, the article about the Bush family goes into that, and it pretty well bears out a lot of people made a lot of money. Patrick Leahy recently suggested that there should be an inquiry as to whether the West Nile virus should be investigated as a potential tool of terrorism, and was treated as if he was crazy. I always say, when people want something kept quiet that much, there must be something to hide. Now, the Bush administration is trying to rush through legislation to skip environmental reports for the purpose of pushing through transportation projects. Why? So by election time, he can tell America that he's creating better transportation and more jobs. What he won't tell you is that he's willing to ruin the environment further by doing it. Bush claims he's giving us a tax break. Maybe on that IRS form he is, but how much are you losing because of 401k and investment losses? Did you know that there's an obscure minimum tax that will be taxing about 36 million Americans by 2010? That tax break just isn't going to go very far. And by then, George will have inherited his money from Dad, most likely, and the corporations will have taken over. In this report, we won't really even talk about the free trade areas of the Americas. It's so complex, but it's the single biggest danger to jobs for Americans that there ever was. The Bush administration claims marijuana is the cause of exposing our children to the evils of drugs and crime. And what do? They go after a marijuana farm in Santa Cruz, California that was operating legally, according to California state law, to serve patients who had legal prescriptions for it, to alleviate the pain and suffering of people with cancer and AIDS and other diseases. That's not compassion. What this administration demands is compliance. Name me one bill that actually serves the interests of all Americans. I'm not talking about the patron churches he wants to give tax money to. That's the biggest ruse there ever was. If you think the welfare to work program is a success, then ask the people living in the streets about it. Ask the thousands of Americans who lost their jobs and pensions, whose unemployment benefits will run out, to whom welfare benefits are not even going to be available. And when they end up on the streets, ask them how they feel about welfare to work. It could happen to you. The United States constantly passes legislation to deal with issues, and it sounds really, really good in the press, but then they don't fund it, so it never happens. Of course, there are no press conferences to announce that. But you'll notice what they say afterward. We passed legislation to do it. They don't ever say that it got done. Bush places pressure on Congress to pass legislation quickly for the purpose of backing them into a political corner, knowing full well that if they don't go along, lies will be told to make it seem like they did something wrong, when what they've done is stand up for Americans. But the Republican propaganda machine is so powerful, just like Hitler's. In fact, it was modeled after Hitler. They actually studied Hitler videos to perfect the techniques. And they're about to begin the genocide of the Arab people, supposedly to save a nation like ours that claims to be righteous. That is supposedly Christian and better than Muslims. Well, how dare they? God did not tell us to judge others. He said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." But Americans have been lied to and manipulated into believing that it all is true, that killing instead of seeking peaceful means is the right thing to do. The ignorance of the facts must end now. It's time for Americans to become educated and aware of the truth before it kills us. Right now. Right now. In the South, there are large numbers of people who believe that the South will rise again. They believe that the Southern states will overthrow the government and take over this land and replace our Constitution with their own laws, the oppression that was fought against in the Civil War. I saw it as no coincidence at all that the flag of the WTC Memorial on September 11th ripped in half as it did. The Bible, after all, said that these people would forecast their actions. And now Donald Rumsfeld testifies that people, a lot like me, don't understand that the issue with Iraq isn't inspections. He says it's about disarmament. But it's a lie, given the fact that they don't acknowledge that the inspections are about disarmament in the first place. They'll lie and tell you anything to whip you into a fervor, to get you to support a war, to do away with his father's enemy, and to secure oil. Right now, there are 800 U.S. soldiers waiting to go into Yemen, supposedly to take out Al-Qaeda, but more likely to attack the Hezbollah on behalf of Israel. By the way, the Bible says I'm to inform Israel that its leaders have been deceived and that the leaders have deceived the people. But it also says they won't listen until later, when one of their allies supposedly will destroy them. I could go on and on about the Bush administration, and probably should. Maybe tomorrow I'll tell you about the civil war we'll likely see and the wrath of other nations coming down upon us for becoming an aggressor nation. For we will be the cause of the deaths of two-thirds of the Earth's human and animal population. It's all about how you'll need to learn to survive, if you do survive, in post-apocalyptic times. Back to the Old West, although the prognosis for adults is worse than bleak. Remember, as humans, if we're used and bred like livestock, the greatest meat is in the older animals. I wish I was lying about this, but I'm not. Read the Bible. We may be the dominant species now, but not for long. DNA experiments gone awry will bring us predator animals cloned back into existence. We're already seeing the cloning of children. Jurassic Park is not as big a fantasy as you might think. And the part I really wish I didn't have to think about is what Area 51 has to do with it all. What Mulder was after was not as far-fetched as you might think. Did you know that Australia has developed the equivalent of warp drive? That's right, it'll go from Australia to California in approximately 2 hours, one-eighth the normal time. Have you ever seen a UFO? I have, twice when I was alone, once while attending a concert at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. All of us in the crowd just sort of looked at each other, and the whole place got quiet. Nobody talked about it. We're about to begin a season of storms like never seen. Killer storms, killer drought, extreme weather of all kind. Maybe extreme by, let's say, having no rain or having snow at odd times. Earthquakes will begin to occur, as they are now, more frequently and stronger around the world. Typhoons and monsoons have killed thousands in Asia already this year, and this is not normal. They say the pollution is causing the bulk of the problem. It actually changes the shape of raindrops, as if the dirt causes the rain to collect more water before falling. And a great deal of the pollution is being caused by forest fires all over the world. But we do have a choice. We don't have a lot of time. If we truly begin to live by what we say are our religious values, if we expel the people and the practices that have led us all to believe that corruption is the way things are done, if we realize that we have been trained to do the wrong things for the wrong reasons by people who would only profit from us, then we can create a new world by choosing it. It's a lot like the Matrix. If you can think it, you can do it. This is not a pep talk. This is the bottom line. God made for us a planet meant to be beautiful and whole and in balance. I've driven across the United States 4 times, and I expect I'll do it a number of times more in the future, if only for the fun of it. Because the incredible beauty of this country, of this planet, is a treat by itself. And then, of course, there are the people of America, and they're good, honest people. That's why the corruption in our country is so discouraging. That's why having a president who doesn't care for the people is so destructive and demoralizing to this country and this planet. We don't want to believe that our leaders are doing bad things to us. But think about Japan and Pearl Harbor. Did the people of Japan choose to attack us, or did their leaders attack us? You need to understand that the Bush administration is making us very unpopular with the leaders of other nations. Today I heard it again. We don't have a problem with the people of Iraq. We have a problem with the leaders. Senator Dick Rahal of West Virginia was in Iraq seeing for himself what the situation is. He said, "The Iraqi people probably think the same thing about the United States. Other nations see the need to cause peace and peaceful coexistence. North and South Korea are opening up travel between the two nations. 6 warring tribes in the Congo area of Africa have decided to quit their war and join forces in order to defend their lands from the invading British and American troops. Sudan is making peace with a group in their country that's been waging a limited civil war for nearly 20 years. And the Tamil Tigers and the government of Sri Lanka just ended 2 days of talks on a very positive note." The book of Revelations is very clear. It's easy to see how the events in this country, the actions of George Bush and his friends, are pure evil, how they're described in the Bible. These truly are biblical times, with biblical disasters of all kinds about to occur. Don't ignore the warning. I encourage you to read your Bible. And if you don't read your Bible, then at least take a look around you and notice that the world is not the way you think it ought to be, in a very extreme way. When I began this site, I did so with my own faith in God and heeding certain instructions my father gave me when I was very young. He told me to defend democracy, and democracy is in danger. Florida is just one of the proofs of that. And when I began, I had no intention of doing more than ask us all to acknowledge the truth of a corrupt government, to re-examine our own lives and see where we might improve ourselves in order to be, in fact, a nation of people based on religious values, or at least with a moral discipline. Now, as I've done a great deal more research, I realize that what's going on is more serious. It's something I did not expect to see in my lifetime, and it has to come to an end, and the end of it begins with each of us. When you read the Bible, keep in mind that the tribulations described are not absolute. This means that God will allow them to happen if we do not adhere to God's few rules, just as in the story of Noah's Ark. We can, in fact, change the future as outlined in Revelations and other books in the Bible, but we have to do it now. We have to acknowledge in our hearts what is actually occurring around us. It won't just go away. Criminals have a way of becoming bolder and bolder with each act they get away with. That's how we end up with corporate executives stealing from corporations and citizens losing their pension plans and jobs. That's how we end up with fixed elections. It's everywhere around us. You could call it business as usual, politics as usual, just the way it is, but as long as we stay in denial and refuse to see it as the evil that it is, we will be subjected to it. Our planet's environment will be destroyed, and your way of life, the freedom and the beauty of your life, will be taken away. So here at this site, we'll stay focused on the news, and we'll continue with what I call a spiritual revival, a reawakening of our hearts to those things we say we treasure most, our values and our spiritual commitments. But I want you to know it will take more than that to save our planet. It will take a commitment to causing the planet, the culture, the America we want. It will require taking action. The only other thing I can say right now is that I have, since the beginning of this site, done everything I could possibly do to provide you with sources of information to allow you to make up your own mind. And I believe I've done that again. And now I want to ask you to join me not only in cleaning up our government, an essential part of what needs to be done, but in rekindling our spiritual values. And I'll talk to you more about all of this and the news as we go along. But what I ask of you most is to have faith in God and live the values you want to see in the world. That will make the biggest difference of all. And that's a wrap. This is Charles, DemocraticFundamentalism.org.